Well, since today's Father's Day for our youngsters here, I wanted to share with a thing about Father's Day from this book, A Closer Look at the Evidence. It says, the protective hand of God is clearly displayed in the unique parenting habits of the emperor penguins of Antarctica. The female emperor penguin lays one egg on bare ice and then jumps into the water. Apparently, she lays an egg on bare ice, and then that mother penguin jumps into the water. Apparently, not even thinking about that egg. Not giving her egg another thought. For the next 2 months, it is up to the male penguin, the daddy, the father, you might call, say, it is up to the male penguin to keep that egg warm during that 2 month period by continuously standing over it and holding that egg between his feet and stomach. And this male penguin does without food during the worst part of the Antarctica winter. The worst part. While mama's out. When the chick hatches, the male feeds it with a milky substance from its throat. Eventually, after 2 months, the female returns, in which she is fattened from eating, and so then the female takes over the care of the baby penguin. The father then goes to sea for about 3 weeks. Not 2 months, 3 weeks before returning with food. What he does is he returns with food for his family, for the little one and the mother, his mate. Isn't that interesting? What this is what you call, what they call shared parenting. Does that happen by chance? Now they say evolution is mindless, you know, that it's all natural and materialistic and that, and so there's nothing behind it. So how did if evolution is true, how did evolution come up with that? Doesn't seem logical, does it? What's that, Jeff?
Where they nest?
Yeah. But it's on bare ice.
Well, it is all snow that's been packed down, but it is on the actual
land. And all you see on the wind and and everything going around, you watch it, and that and it's the male penguin that sits on the egg.
Well, they do their dance around one another in a big puddle, you know, during the winter.
Yeah, but they never leave. The male doesn't until the female comes back after 2 months, and then the egg's already hatched. And he's taking care of the little one. And then she does. If God had not designed it, if it had not been designed, every penguin chick would have died long ago. If its parents had not been designed to do what they do. Not evolution, not chance. But even in the realm of nature, you see how God takes care of his creation. And that there is parenting within nature. I just want to read one verse this morning for our text. And that's verse 1 of chapter 5 of Galatians. This is Father's Day, so I will tie that in there. Paul says, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Be appropriate for a July 4th message as well, but we'll get back to freedom then too. But he said it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Now, I want to start and say from the outset that there's a bad chapter division here. Remember that when the scriptures were originally produced, and Paul wrote his epistles, Paul didn't say chapter 1, verse 1, and so forth, and chapter 2, and that. He was writing a letter, like we write a letter today. We don't put chapters, do we? Some people might, but we don't normally say, this is chapter 1, and, you know, verse 1, and so forth. They didn't have that. And when you read the Greek text, you don't see the chapter divisions like it is. But they have put them into chapter divisions. And this is kind of a bad chapter division because verse 1 goes along with verse 31. Where Paul said, so then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. And remember last week I asked you, which is most important? According to this, according to the text and what Paul is saying. Who is your father or who is your mother? What's important is who is your mother? Your mother being Hagar, bondwoman, slave, or Sarah, the free woman. Same father. Ishmael and Isaac had the same father. Different mothers. And it's important who our mother is. If we consider ourselves in this line, not in this. And the Judaizers didn't like what Paul had to say, wouldn't have liked what he had to say, because he was putting them in this line. Not over here. But he does that for a reason, as I said, because he gives us the first allegory. And in that word allegory, the Greek word for allegory is found in the text. So he's given an allegory, but a spiritual, the only one you'll find in all of Scripture, having to do with this. See, to be a child of the promise, children of the promise, and that freedom, bondage and freedom, you have to be over here. The heavenly Jerusalem is over here, not over here. Earthly Jerusalem leads to bondage. The same thing today. And so because of that and what Paul is saying, he now says, for it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Christ has set us free. And as we saw last week, as Christians, we are children of the free woman. Not over here, but over here. That is Sarah by means of Abraham, thus our mother. Which makes us, again, children of the promise. We have sonship. And I'm not talking gender-wise here either. That's why Paul said in Galatians 3, 27, 28, there is neither male nor female. For we are all free in Christ. They're neither slave nor free, neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Christ. We're all free in Him. And so Paul comes back to this theme. Now, the New American Standard has it correct. In treating verse 1, some of New American Standard sets it off. And they are correct in that. Verse 1 is actually a paragraph by itself. But it's in conjunction with what Paul has stated before. You see, Paul spoke of freedom. Excuse me. Paul spoke of freedom from the Judaizers and the Pharisees' way. He was telling the Galatian Christians that they were adhering to the wrong way. That they were going over to this way. When they are over here, but going back to that, they were adhering to their understanding of the Mosaic law. And yet Paul lays down a principle here that applies in every area. It even applies in every area today. But for the gospel's tendency is toward freedom. Be it personal, be it economic, be it social, be it spiritual. The gospel's tendency is towards that. Folks, freedom, and this is something that comes to the heart to today. Folks, freedom is not something to play around with. Many people think that freedom, that it's like a game we're playing. It's not a game. They want to make it out to be a game today. And when they say, "Oh, we'll just burn it all down, tear it all down, we'll start over again. Then we'll really be free." Really? They're kidding themselves and thinking that. And of course, that terminology, by the way, was not something made out of thin air. Most people don't realize that the term, just burn it down, and we'll start over with a new system, that came from Saul Alinsky in his book, The Rule for Radicals. And what they teaching in college and so forth, and it's and filtering down. But they're playing around, you see. They're acting like freedom is a game. And it's not. But what they're playing around with will lead to this. Bondage. Freedom is hard won and hard kept. Just ask some of those, if you know of any, that have served in the military. Ask any of those who have served over in Iraq or Afghanistan, who have been in wars and survived. Ask them. Why, if you were able to ask any of our ancestors or those family that we know who have fought in the wars that our country has, that have fought in World War II, our fathers, grandfathers, ask them. And they would tell us that indeed freedom is hard won and it's hard kept. Those men who gave their lives on D-Day, June 6, 1944, at Normandy, they understood that freedom is hard won and it's hard kept. That's why they did it, was it not? For liberty? For freedom? Kenny Bowles says that Paul is concerned here that the Galatian Christians not return to any form of slavery, to the weak and miserable principles they formerly served. As Brother Bowles says, what good is it to be set free if one then reverts to being a slave? To be set free for freedom emphasizes the permanency of that status, of that new status. And that's what Paul was telling them. Christ has set you free. Think about that. And think about this. Freedom began not in 1776, although we have declarations of independence, and yes, and freedom from another country, yes. But freedom did not ultimately begin there. When did freedom begin? Freedom began when God breathed into man the breath of life and made him and her, mankind, first Adam, a living soul. That's when freedom began. But people don't want to believe in that today. They want to believe it's all material things. It's all nature. But nature has no choice. We look around us and nature is ordered. Who ordered it? It just come about by chance, it said. Anyone knows that that doesn't make sense? It's ordered because God designed it that way. You can train and make, say, a puppy, moose. My daughter and son-in-law's puppy, black lab. You can train them to do certain things, yes. But God designed them certain ways. And as far as how they live in that, God designed that. He ordered it. They do things because He created them that way. Like the penguins. They do those things because God designed it that way. And that's order and design. But only man is of flesh and spirit. Only man has the capability and capacity to choose. Freedom began when God created man. But he did something with that freedom, didn't he? And God wasn't like a puppet, a puppeteer, where Adam was a puppet and Eve was a puppet. And he's a marionette or a puppeteer up there, and he's pulling the strings. God wasn't like that. He gave them choice. And that's why all of us, when we're born, we are born free. We're born free, and we're born with flesh and spirit. And we have the capability, the capacity to choose. And to choose whether to do good or wrong. We're born that way. But we're not born evil. We're not born corrupt. We become that way because of choice. Because we choose. But we're all born innocent, free and innocent, with the capability to choose and to do either good or evil. So Paul says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. That presupposes that beforehand they weren't free. Even though they were Gentiles, not Jews, that they weren't free. God places within man to make him aware, her and her, mankind, human beings, aware of their physical and their emotional and spiritual needs, which then moves them toward the good things of this world, at least should, upon which though their desires can be met and satisfied. That's the flesh part of us. And there's nothing wrong with that. God created us that way. On the other hand, though, only mankind has he given his breath of life, spirit, to. It's only mankind that the scriptures speak about that have living souls. That means flesh and spirit, which makes us a living soul. That is, brothers and sisters, that's our distinctiveness. That's why, even though, say, Eric and Carson and Rowan, they're cousins, but they don't look alike, do they? But yet they're still family, they're still cousins. So they're still related, but they're distinct. You and I, we are all distinct. And what they're trying to do in our society, in our world today, is to break that down. But to break it down in a bad way. Who would ever, and I've said this before, who would ever have thought that those of us who experienced it and been alive since then, you know, from Tony's age on down, you haven't, but we have. What we fought, what was fought against, not only just in the Civil War, but with the civil rights thing. Some of us saw cities burning in the 60s. Some of us saw tanks in the cities. Yes, military tanks in the cities. And they want to go back to that? That's what they want to go back to. To the distinctiveness. They're talking about, they say that, well, you know, we don't want to go back to the Jim Crow era. Are you kidding me? That's exactly what they want to do. When they want to have separate graduations, and they want to have separate dormitories or separate rooms and separate places where you can be because of your skin color. Yeah. And it's those who are saying and they're disputing about Jim Crow that want that. Who are they kidding? That's exactly what they're talking about. Separate but equal. Brothers and sisters, that's not freedom. That's not going to usher in to freedom. So we are of two worlds. We are of the earthly and we are of the spiritual, the heavenly. And the Bible repeatedly speaks about this. And the well-balanced person, individual, is one in which those two natures are well balanced. And we're going to get into that later when we get in further into chapter 5. Which means neither the flesh side nor the spiritual side control to the neglect of the other one, of the other's needs. Jesus put it best. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, what Jesus said. Remember when he was tempted? Every temptation he answered with the scripture. Jesus put it best when he said, it's found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written. He's talking to Satan. It is written. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But you see, Paul says it was for freedom that you were set free, that Christ has set us free. But you see, something happened to get that out of kilter. And it's way out of kilter today. As well. And what was that? Why, that was transgressing God's way. His way. And thus, we are no longer free. So how do we obtain that freedom again then? Well, Jesus gave us an answer. John chapter 8. Verses 34 through 38, Jesus said this. Jesus answered them. And I noticed before, and this falls into line with what Paul is saying, in verse 33, the religious leaders, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? You see, it's that right there. And that's what the Galatian Christians were in danger of doing. That's what the Judaizers wanted them to do, to go back into bondage. And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does not remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father. And Jesus meant Satan, not Abraham. And Jesus said there, the Son makes you free. You will be free indeed. So yes, in Christ only, we are free from oppression ultimately. People want to be free from oppression. They want to be free from this and they want to be free from that. But brothers and sisters, unless they come to Christ, unless they come to Him, they'll never be free. They're always going to be oppressed. Now, that's the way Satan wants it. But that's not the way the Lord wants it. It can only be accomplished by freely following Christ. And so then Paul says, therefore, keep standing firm. Literally, that's what Paul says. Keep standing firm. And he uses a present imperative verb. And what, as Brother Gareth Reese says, what that means is that they must never waver in their determination to be free from the enslaving works of the law, such as the Judaizers were promoting and insisting upon. Paul is not asking them. He's not begging, pretty please, can you do this? Would you do this? You know, if you do this, you know, then everything will be all right with me. And everything will be all right with you. No, Paul is giving a command. And that's what we need to see today as well. Keep standing firm. Paul is saying, don't go back to that. This is one of Paul's favorite, and one might say frequent, admonitions in his epistles. Stand firm. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, and chapter 4, verse 1, Paul tells the Philippian, stand in the faith, stand firm. He tells the Ephesians that. One of mine and Mike's favorite scriptures, Ephesians 6, 13. Paul says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. He told the Thessalonians and the Corinthians the same thing. So why would Paul emphasize that? Because it's important. Because it's crucial. It's crucial in our Christian lives today. To stand firm. No matter what's happening around us, no matter what others may say, we must stand firm. That doesn't mean that we browbeat others. It doesn't mean that we condemn others. But it does mean that we stand firm in our beliefs. That we stand firm on the scriptures. And we can do that. And we can show that to others in love. and in patience and in calmness. Folks, we have those today who are seeking to, what they were trying to do in Paul's day, what Paul was talking about. Folks, we have those today who are seeking to remove or move us out of the freedom we have in Christ. Many in positions of leadership today, both in national, state, and local government, are doing what they can to move us out of that, remove that freedom. Just look at our sister country up north, in Canada, part of North America. Ministers who dare open their churches for service, they are being arrested. They are being threatened. Their churches are being not allowed, they're not being allowed to meet. And we know that's happened here in some places, not so much now we hear, but that's still going on. And why? It has to do with our freedom. And sadly, there are some in positions of leadership in many church groups as well that are trying to move people out of the freedom that they have in Christ. There are those who want to define freedom as the absence of limitations. And freedom means the presence of self-sufficiency. Freedom means power. But that only leads, again, to what Paul calls a yoke of bondage. In the last part of the verse, Paul once again uses the present imperative. When he says, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Now here's the interesting thing. He said, do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. It's a present imperative. It's a command. But here's the thing. Paul is commanding them to seize an action, to seize an action that they've already begun. And we're going to talk about that next week. How indeed you can lose your freedom in Christ. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, stop it. Stop going that way. And Paul is saying that the Galatian Christians, they have started to follow the Judaizers' way, and they're submitting to that yoke. Now, it's interesting. There's no definite article before yoke. So what does that mean? Well, it could be any kind of yoke of bondage. Whether that's the Judaizers' way, the Pharisees' kind, or even pagan, or any other kind of bondage. Peter talked about that. Acts chapter 15, verse 10. Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? What was that yoke? Well, that yoke was just this. Following that. Following the law of Moses. However, there is a yoke that we should take on. And what is that yoke? It's Christ. It's his yoke. Remember what he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 to 30? He said, take your yoke upon me. I'll bear your burdens. For my burden is light, not heavy. You want a yoke? Jesus said, come and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you. That's the kind we need today. So Paul says, if the Galatian Christians allowed themselves to go back into bondage, they would be giving up what they have in Christ, which I'll speak more of next week. I agree with Scott McKnight when he says, no one becomes biblically free until one accepts that he or she is enslaved to sin, self, and the world. People want to be free today? Remember back in the 70s, 60s, and 70s, we sang a song about that, right? People just want to be free? You ever hear that song? People just want to be free. What they say today? We're being oppressed by our government. We're being oppressed by this. We're being oppressed by that. We're being oppressed because of the color of our skin. All white people are bad. And they're all doing it to us. Even little ones, they say that they've got evidence now that a six-month-old can be racist. That's what they say. Research, you know, that they've done. Are you kidding me? Little Sydney at 6 months old, she wouldn't know what racism was, is, would she? Unless her mom and dad told her, said, honey, we just want you to know you're racist, and this is how you're racist. Really? See, that's going the wrong way. That's not freedom. The only way one can be truly free is through Christ Jesus. And it is only by coming to God on His terms, His way, His plan of salvation, that we can be granted access to that freedom. Father's Day we talk about. Today's Father's Day. What's more precious for fathers than to teach their children about the freedom that they can have in Christ? That's what the children of Israel got wrong, you see. Way back when, even before Christ came. What did God tell them to do? We read in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He was talking to the fathers, by the way. Not the mothers. Oh, the mothers had a part in it, yes. But he was talking to the fathers when he said, you teach these to your children, and they'll teach them to their children, and they'll teach them to their grandchildren. You teach them. In the morning, you teach it. In the evening, what were they supposed to teach? And I pronounced this wrong before, so I had to look back up in my Hebrew, and I have to make sure that I'm pronouncing this correct in my Hebrew, because I'm very picky about that. What were they supposed to teach him? What's that? Yes, to obey him. And it became what was known and what the Jews call, in Hebrew, is called the Shema. Not Shema, as I said before, Shema. What is that? Hear, O Israel. Listen and understand. There is one God and only one God. Hear him. Those are the things they were supposed to teach. Well, what are we supposed to teach today? What should we teach as fathers as today? We have our children. See, Father, we have a responsibility to teach too. Yes, it's true that the way God designed things, his mothers are the nurturers. But we have a responsibility as well. And I believe them, even as grandparents. We have responsibility. That's why Paul said, for the older men to teach the younger one. Why Paul said for the older women to teach the younger ones. Why? To put them in bondage? To make them slaves? People would say that. No. So it would be well with them. That's why we're to teach these things. That's why Paul says these things. Not to get down on them. Not to browbeat them. But to teach them. To show them what they have in Christ. And you see, we're going to sing, I Surrender All. See, that's what it's about. And that's what so many people in the world don't want to do. Right? They don't want to surrender all. It's like people want to say, we don't have idolatry today. Sam, we're going to sing, I Surrender All. Tony and Jeff, get ready. And while they're doing that, I'll say this one little more piece. People want to say, we don't have idolatry today. Really? People want to think that it's the image. And this is what God was saying. He said, you don't make an image of likeness or this and worship that. But it's not the image that's the issue. It's what's behind it. People want to say, we don't have idolatry today. Brother Billy Wilson said, are you kidding me? Mankind doesn't worship war? Have they not made an idol out of that? Do we not have war? You don't have to have an image of Mars or Jupiter or what have you to have war. That's an idol. You name it. Do we not have greed? They made idols out of, and yes. What is this month? What have they said this month is? Yes. So what are they worshiping? Sex. We don't have to have an image of Aphrodite or Diana. We don't have to have the image for people to be worshiping those things. Moloch, even though they do have an actual replica of Moloch, and then they have paraded it around the country. You know that? We don't have to have that. You don't have to have that actual image to worship the slaughtering of children as they are doing. Is that not idolatry? And that's slavery. That's bondage. Those things are. But what he wants is this. He wants us to surrender all, not part of ourselves, all of ourselves. Why? Just as Paul said. So we can have ultimate freedom. So we can be free. That's why we surrender to him. See? Let's sing them.